But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
We're back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Kevin, you did a phenomenal job with this the other day, and we even had a lot left over afterwards.
Sure.
But I want to ask everybody out there, 877-881-1053, how's the snow treating you? How's the... It looks like it's just wet now. It doesn't even look slushy. And maybe it's icy because I don't know what the temperatures were, but during the show, I saw that it was supposed to dip into the 32s. And I don't know if that's a thing or not, but it is.
Well, it should be
32.1, 32.2. You know, nobody really knows. So it's maybe it's three numbers. So there we go. But right now, regardless of what the Cowboys say, because they're going to tell you everything they can and make you come back for more, inject it in your veins. Which players cannot get any better in 2025 and beyond?
For the Cowboys.
For the Cowboys specifically.
Can I ask you this a serious question? Is this based on how they played in 24 or who, like,
where they are in their career?
For example,
for me,
DeMarcus Lawrence, and I know he's not under contract for 2025. He can't play worse than 2024 because he didn't really play. Or are we basing this on, can DeMarcus Lawrence be as good or better than we remembered him?
See, I think that's the one that I was going for.
Okay. Because I didn't know if, like, we're just basing it off of how they played in 24 or
I think,
who they were before.
I think a close enough to their peak. You know, it doesn't have to be their tippy top peak, but close enough.
That's a good question, right?
That was a very good question. Thank you for clarifying.
I love the use of tippy top.
And unfortunately, if somebody else wants to say it, that's fine too, but I'll take the bullet. I think you lead the way with Dak Prescott. Because I think you saw the best version of him in 2023, and it still got you nowhere. And now he's
when he finished second for MVP.
I don't know if anybody heard that.
Nobody
or not.
Said anything about that.
And it got you nowhere in the playoffs. And he's coming off another injury. We talked about this. He's an injury-prone quarterback who's getting older. If you're counting on him to take this magical next step up, I think that's ludicrous and a terrible way to plan.
He's going to be better than this year.
That's fair.
That is a very fair thing. That this year was miserable for him. And I still blame a lot of it on the offensive line. They weren't ready. There was a lot of this team that wasn't ready yet. But he didn't look as sharp, and he wasn't able to get it all together. And the best ones, whenever these things are, you know, happen and pop up, they typically overcome, even though we did even see Patrick Mahomes missing offensive linemen not win a Super Bowl. All right, thanks a lot. He didn't win the Super Bowl. He struggled to win a lot of games this year.
That's true.
Kevin, I think you're dead on, man. He can't because, as Mike's been pointing out time after time, the ankle injury, which did need a second surgery, that ankle injury is leading to this, and lower body is going to be a problem for a guy who relies not just on his arm and his head, but he did need to rely on his legs.
And that's why I just wanted to bring it up, because I've got more people on this list. None of this is meant to bash any of these players. It's essentially meant to go after the Cowboys front office and say, if you're not planning like this,
right, if you
I think you're planning incorrectly.
If you were part of the meetings and you had a say-so, you would step up and go, hey, Dak Prescott is losing his athleticism.
Yes.
In fact, it is a below-average athleticism at this position in the NFL now. We have a non-athletic quarterback based off of who we're seeing play against. And what we're going to watch here in the playoffs, Dak is one of the least athletic quarterbacks now in the NFL, which is probably going to lead to him playing at a lesser version than we're used to him playing. Like, that would be, this is like if you were in those meetings, you would say, do we understand this? So how are we supposed to build around him now? Because we have to. We gave him the contract. We have to. We have a very unathletic quarterback who does have some quality traits, but I'm with you. I do think at this point, Dak Prescott is not ever going to be considered in that kind of tier one, tier two category of quarterbacks. And that's scary for the first guy we're naming because it's by far the most valuable position on the team.
Now, granted, if the rest of the team, if they build a really good team around him, he can benefit from it. Like, that's a real thing. But his version, the version of Dak, may have gotten to the peak. I would say DeMarcus Lawrence next. Did you already say him?
Nope. No, I just mentioned him as what are we going off of?
He would be my next person because at this point.
You just let him walk?
Yes.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
Price-wise, he might be a steal. In hometown discounts, always a weird thing. I don't know where he is mentally on, I've made my money, I really just want to win here, or I just really want to win a championship. I don't know where he is there. But the Joneses have been very adamant that progress stoppers are a problem for them.
Can I ask you, what do you think would be a steal for DeMarcus Lawrence?
What's just above that minimum?
Okay, so like $2 million?
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say five.
Okay, let's even go up to $5 million. Sure. Yeah. Steal a $5 million. DeMarcus Lawrence, if he doesn't play, counts $8.7 million on your cap next year.
So, and if he does, oh, wow. So he already doesn't count.
So
if he does play, can I spread that money out?
You can, but then you have to give him a lengthy deal that's just going to end up blowing up in your face in a couple of years. But my point is, again, it's against management. I'm not against your logic at all. My point is, because of the way the Cowboys backload their contracts, and I know other teams in the NFL do that as well, you're already on the hook for $8 million for him. So whatever money you think you can get him for, you're still in the hole.
I would like to ask you now, because we mentioned two old players. Do you have any young players on this list? Like, because I looked at Deuce Vaughn, yes, and I was like, Deuce Vaughn can.
I do.
But maybe Deuce Vaughn can, just not with this team.
I have three young players on this list. Now, some of them are on the list for different reasons. Overshown, Deuce Vaughn, and Kevontae Turpin. Now, hear me out. For Overshown, remember, it's just because we said in 2025. If you incorporate more of the beyond, then that changes. I love DeMarvion Overshown. And I know he came out and said something interesting.
Very significant for the Ravens.
Okay, tell me. Zay Flowers done for sure?
Zay Flowers ruled out for this for this week's game against the Steelers. And Kevin, I know we were having that conversation about Lamar Jackson with that fan. It was like, how can you put him there? That's a huge target for him. He's made life easy for Lamar Jackson, and now he's not going to be there against the Steelers.
That's tough. I know it was trending that way.
Dang, that's really going to hit Lamar Jackson because he's going to be Mark Andrews and likely because that guy spreads the field out for them. So that's going to be a big storyline this weekend with the Ravens.
That is a very fair point. So for Overshown, I know he said he's going to come back and he's going to train his butt off. And I have no doubt about any of that. I just don't think you can count on anything from him in 2025. And if you get anything, great, bonus. But I don't think you're going to get anything from him.
Can I ask you guys about a player that I'm 50-50 on this question? Diggs and his now kind of lack of play over the last few years.
Okay. I'm glad that you brought that up because I don't have Trayvon Diggs on my list, but I think that's a really intriguing
idea. Yeah, I don't think it's a definite. I'm just wondering, what is he going to come back like?
Yeah, that's a great question. And that's why I said, hey, if you want to save, I'll go back and double check, $7 or $8 million. You could move on from Trayvon Diggs if you wanted. But I think everyone's going to count on him being the dude again, even though Steven already told us, like, he's not going to be a training camp guy.
Yeah.
That's scary.
Yeah, and where his body injuries have been are significant. Like for some people, it's been career ending for some of them, or career changing, altering, and you're not the same person after those injuries. So.
I think Diggs is a fair person for the list. I said Turpin and Deuce Vaughn just because you've already seen what the Cowboys intend on doing with them. It's not a knock against them as the player. But at a time when you needed more help at running back, Cowboys were like, I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
And at a time when you needed more help at wide receiver, the Cowboys are like, this is how we feel comfortable using Turpin.
Didn't even, for me, move the needle until the last game.
Do you guys feel like you haven't brought this person up because we didn't know how horrible he was until he went out and was replaced? Zach Martin. And then there's probably he's retiring, but I'm throwing his name out to you guys because, like, he is old. His career, we didn't know, but it looks like it's over.
Yeah.
But if he does come back, what do you think Zach Martin brings?
I'm going to get in trouble with this. This is going to break my heart. I do think Zach Martin can be better in 2025.
Okay. At the 9, first down, fake inside. Jackson runs it to the left and trots in. Just walks the ball into the garden, through the picket fence. Block from Kolar. Ravens score first.
Now we have a lot to deconstruct before we get to NFL overreaction or reality, or Mike likes it. Questions on the table. Is the G-Bag Nation going to half-ass it today? Next question
on
the
table. What do you mean half-ass it? Mail it in Thursday?
I can't come in. Why?
That's not half-assing it?
Yes.
You're still talking?
You're half-assing it. Next question.
We'll agree to disagree.
I don't agree to that. I'm just kidding. Why was Alec half-assing it at the end of our last segment?
Alec, you need to explain yourself,
yeah,
man.
Alec.
We went to go for Micah Parsons audio.
That was a weird Micah Parsons audio that you went to commercial break on.
So I've got three options on the table. I'm going to let you choose which is true.
All right.
One, I was too busy taking a load off. Two.
No.
He took the load off an hour ago.
Two, I'm tired of hearing from Micah Parsons.
Okay.
And that does feel fair.
And three, I'm helping everybody get their stuff set up for remote broadcasts tomorrow.
I'm going to say take a load off.
And I was not paying attention whatsoever.
Are you talking about the people who are half-assing it?
I'm not going to put accusations out there. I'm just going to say that I was helping people test connections and stuff.
I'll say,
can't drive up to work. There's nothing wrong.
I'll say half of option one and half of option three.
Okay.
That's where I'm going to go with that.
So
the other 60, one, though, 40. The Micah Parsons one, you can never get tired of hearing from him, right? He barely ever talks.
I don't know about all of that. For sure, not that last part. But I'm going to start it off in a different direction. We're going to do NFL overreaction or reality. Cut number 9, NFL overreaction or reality. Micah is speaking truth right here.
For the people that kept believing, because we're not done yet. We are not done yet, and I hope that y'all don't think we're done yet. It's going to be an amazing, amazing, amazing thing to see next year when we're holding the trophy. Yes, it's big goals, but I'm telling y'all right now, it's holding the trophy. I'm saying my prayers out loud. I'm saying my goals out loud so y'all can hear them. You know, we're going to be holding a trophy up next year. Point blank, period.
What kind of trophy?
Maybe they have the. Maybe we don't know this. Maybe they're adding that cup thing in October to football. That
NFL
basketball
cup.
Did.
Would that intrigue you more, Mike? Would you be like, I'm in on this cup thing now?
Usually the Cowboys play pretty good October football.
That's a good point.
They only play it in October.
So NFL overreaction or reality, Mike is right. The Cowboys will be holding a trophy at the end of the year. Plus, I hope everyone saw Mike's face when Mike was like, we're not done yet. It felt like Mike wanted to go.
Like,
does he not know
the season's over? You're not playing this week. Your guys are wanting to sign autographs, which is great. You can go get them at the Dallas Card Show. But come on, dude. I guess I want them to believe that. I want the Rangers to believe right now that they're going to make it back into the playoffs in 25 and they're going to have a playoff run and they're going to win the World Series. I love that. I love what Jock Peterson said. And Mike is pretty much without, you know, taking shots. Like, Mike is pretty much just doing that. That being said, Micah probably has no clue who's played for the Cowboys or the Cowboys history, so he doesn't understand how bad it is.
The speak it into existence thing is where I am, Kevin.
Okay.
That's why I feel like he's trying to manifest it by saying it out loud. And I don't think he's trying to ask anybody to buy in. He's just saying, I have to say this for me. So I don't know the question again because I was taking a load off.
Like, do you believe do you believe it's the truth that they're going to be holding?
No.
There's only one trophy, the Lombardi trophy.
Yeah, reality, baby.
Reaction.
You'll get a Super Bowl.
With no money to add anybody who's a veteran who can help. And the 12th pick.
Yeah, let's go get it. NFL overreaction or reality. Blocked field goals should not count as missed field goals. All right.
I agree with this.
Okay. How many field goals did Brandon Aubrey miss this year?
Six.
Seven.
Seven.
Some of those were blocked. I'm here to argue blocked field goals should not count as missed field goals.
It's not their fault usually. There's times where I'll be nice, butt kick it, where you kick it into the guy's butt. You're like, hey, you got to kick it higher than that. That is your fault. I don't know, because I feel like if a defender puts his hand up and blocks it, we don't know what would have happened.
Is an interception an incompletion?
I think so.
I think it is.
Okay. Yeah, sure. I'm okay with the idea of this. All right, this is very, though, Gulf of Mexico, Gulf of America. Is anybody really upset about this, Kevin?
I'm upset on behalf of Brandon Aubrey.
Okay.
Because he became the fourth kicker in NFL history to make 40 or more field goals in a year, although Chris Boswell also did that this year. And when I looked at he missed 7 field goals, I was like, there's no effing way.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like every field goal he missed was either blocked or hit one of the posts. I think there was another one that you're like, what the hell happened there?
Yeah.
Yeah, he either blocked, hit the post, or he fell down.
Yeah.
Or was about to fall down.
It seems like every one of them is from like 68 yards anyway.
Yes.
And you got to kick lower on those, so I blame the offense for that.
Yeah, exactly.
Blame Mike McCarthy. Move on from that guy or something. I don't know.
We'll see.
We'll see.
In the next week. Although, maybe not. NFL overreaction or reality? Mar Jackson's awesome. The Ravens are really good, but they still won't make it to the Super Bowl this year.
Reality.
I think reality, too, because they're going to have to go to Buffalo, then go to, I think, Kansas City.
Sure.
Most likely, if you just look at the bracket.
Yeah.
Is that I do think, I asked Bobby this, by the way, since he's going on vacation. We'll have all next week to talk about this. I said, if the Chargers win like you think they will, which I think it's a 50-50 game, but who cares? Either Houston or the Chargers, do you think they're going to go to Kansas City and beat the Chiefs?
No.
If you don't think they are, then that means Lamar Jackson has to go to Buffalo in the second round and then go to Kansas City. I probably think that's too tough of a task.
Look at their record this year. They weren't the best team.
Sure.
He had eye-popping numbers in certain games. And even in the games they lost, there were a lot of times it was high-scoring games. But there were other teams that were better than them, and now they have to face them too.
I will throw an
optimism. Their defense got better at the end of the year.
And I will say, and now Zay Flowers is out, and we don't know if he'd be out for if he's out for the Buffalo game, they're pretty screwed passing-wise.
I can see that.
So I would look at it this way. In a positive way for Baltimore, not that there's Baltimore fans listening, is they did go 12-3 after the first two games of the year. They did start off 0-2, and then from that point went 12-3. That's a pretty darn good way to turn things around.
Now, the interesting thing about Lamar, well, first of all, this is interesting too. You know, when Trent Dilfer was 28, he won a Super Bowl with the Ravens. And when Joe Flacco was 28, he won a Super Bowl with the Ravens.
How old was Unitas?
Ooh, I'm going to go check
Baltimore.
That.
Colts.
Lamar Jackson is 28.
How old was Peyton Manning? I know Indianapolis.
Yeah, they used to be Baltimore.
I'll go look those two up.
You should have had more information on the age 28.
What about the Browns? Oh.
They're just the... Oh, because they moved to Baltimore.
They moved to the Baltimore.
Oh, my gosh. What held was Tim Couch?
He never won one.
Oh.
Here are all of the multi-time MVP winners in NFL history. Peyton Manning. 1-2 Super Bowls. Aaron Rodgers, Super Bowl. Tom Brady, 7, I think, right? Brett Favre, he won. Jim Brown, he won championships. I realized the Super Bowl didn't exist then. Same with Johnny Unitas, Kurt Warner, Steve Young, Joe Montana, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson is the only player on this list who has never won a championship or even been to the championship game.
And quite honestly, let's go to last year.
That was their year.
He was trying to be something he wasn't.
Yeah.
And this year, he's actually gotten a better version of himself since then.
Yep.
You know, he was trying to be Mahomes last year, and this year, he's Lamar just as a comfortable thrower. And that's the best thing. I don't know that it's going to be the deciding factor, but every year, it's been something that just kind of kept him from it, and it was usually because the quarterback and the team fell apart in the playoffs.
I know we talked about the pressure earlier. I think Lamar Jackson's a great player. In the playoffs, 2-4, 57.4% completion percentage with 6 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. And that's
how it feels.
Yeah, pretty much. And so this is another time that, man, they have to beat the Steelers. Like you might argue they have to beat the Bills and they have to beat the Chiefs, but they have got to be the Steelers, or else their regular season becomes meaningless from here on out.
Zay Flowers, since that drop last year, you know, in the playoffs, has been, he just turned it up this year, man. He was a Pro Bowler. but they also added something to that team that they didn't really have, and that is a legit threat at running back.
Agreed.
Like, you always had it in Lamar, and then you had running backs. But this, like, Derrick Henry changes it for them. So they might just say, you know what, we're gonna be a power run playoff team, and you're just going to have to deal with that crap in December. Or, we're out of December, Kevin.
Now,
January and February.
NFL overreaction or reality, Sam Darnold can't cut it in the playoffs. Now, this is a projection. We don't know.
I'm going to say yes, because I'm picking the Rams to win that game. And I think, as much as I thought maybe a month ago, 4 or 5 weeks ago, that the Rams offense would be the thing that, watch out. I think getting Nacua healthy, Cooper Kupp healthy, the way that I believe they have a great offensive coordinator slash head coach in McVay that's going to figure out ways to run the ball effectively. And then you have Matthew Stafford, who I think's a future Hall of Famer. I know he's on that borderline, but it's been their defense that has really carried them to their playoff spot. And that doesn't bode well for Sam Darnold. He just got shut down completely in the last game of the year.
And that's the memory that's in my head, of course.
9 points in a game that can get you a bye in the home field advantage throughout the playoffs.
I'm going to say reality for a different reason.
Okay.
O'Connell's had a guy that you didn't believe in. I didn't believe in a quarterback. In regular season looked amazing. And then in the playoffs, you're like, what just happened? How did that just happen? I feel like that's going to be the same case again here.
NFL overreaction or reality. Corey, I'm going to start with you on this one. Rams-Vikings, I know this ties in, is the most intriguing NFL wildcard game.
What are you doing right now?
Which game
are you?
Sorry.
Rams-Vikings.
Is this your overreaction? Did you say this? Is this in your heart right now?
I'm just the person who reads it.
I don't think it is. I have a different game.
I bet your game is different than mine, too.
Right. Okay, what is y'all's most intriguing, then?
1, 2, 3.
Philadelphia, Green Bay.
Ours is different. Mine's okay. Denver, Buffalo. His is Philly, Green Bay, if you didn't hear it. And Denver, Buffalo, because it's quarterbacks on each end of the spectrum, right? One's new to this whole thing. One's an experienced one, but both of them played well and probably better than anybody expected this year. That one right there. And they're kind of unique teams with really fun coaches.
But that makes for a fun wild card weekend, right? Because I would make the argument for Rams Vikings. Corey, you have a different one. Mike, you have a different one. Well, we just hit 3 of the 6 games
that we all think
could be the best game.
This is an exciting football weekend.
Yeah,
I mean
oh my god,
what's
starting tonight?
Tomorrow? Yeah, tonight. Yeah. We got an exciting stretch here of football.
I'm making some turkey balsamic glazed meatloaf tonight.
Ooh, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
That sounds fancy as hell. I like it.
It's from Bobby Flay's recipe. It has like zucchini and red peppers and onions in it.
You'll never know, Kevin.
Yeah, I mean.
But I cook it in olive oil first.
He hides it from his kids.
So now the kids are getting vegetables. They don't even know it.
In your face. Now, I think there might be more agreement on this next one. Overreaction or reality, Ravens Steelers is the least intriguing NFL wild card game.
Overreaction.
Okay, what do you say instead?
Chargers, Texans.
Really?
Yep.
Fascinating.
And I wish it was more interesting to me, but sure. it's kind of a warm up for me, and that's why it's the Saturday 3:30 game. Honestly,
I think every Texans game gets put there if they make the playoffs.
They've been underwhelming. The Texans, they've been underwhelming to me this year. Even with the 10 wins, it's just they weren't. I expected them to be the top of the AFC, and they're not there yet. And I don't feel like they even built to it. It's kind of like somebody had to win that division, and they were the ones that won the most games. With the Chargers, I just gave up on Justin Herbert, and so they're interesting story, but it's not a captivating story for me right now.
Mike, least intriguing, Ravens Steelers.
Well, the only reason I won't say least intriguing, I need to just think off the top of my head all the games. I guess for some reason, I just think Buffalo's going to destroy Denver.
Okay.
The reason I say least intriguing, to like not least intriguing is one, you just brought up the Lamar Jackson situation. Yep. I think he has to win this game. Two, now Zay Flowers is out. And I get that they just, I can't remember the final score. I'm sorry. The last Baltimore-Pittsburgh game that Baltimore did win.
Yeah, they thumped them.
Going into that game, it was weird that had Pittsburgh won 8 in a row or something?
Yeah, they really, really had the Ravens.
So I get it. They won. They destroyed that. They keep beating us year after year and back to back and all. But I don't know. For some reason, I'm kind of intrigued there on how Baltimore is going to come out of this game.
I think people were afraid that Russell Wilson could stretch the field again, and then they realized he doesn't really, and George Pickens wasn't great, and so they were like, we can stack the box on the Steelers again. I'm there are Steelers fans out there that have been paying a lot more attention. That's my gut feeling. Can I throw something in here, Kevin? Mark Falwell tweeted out, NBA announced the start time of the Mavs-Blazers game is being moved up due to inclement weather. So it's up to 6:30 p.m. tonight. So it's
okay.
Pre-game at 6 on the KFAA mic. So you kind of can prepare
channel
for that.
Channel 29 thing? No, KFAA is channel 8.
WFAA.
I'm sorry.
Actually, it is still on channel 8, though. So so I just wanted, any Mavs fans out there, we're a sports station.
I will say this. Absolutely. I was getting into basketball here in a, when I get to Mike likes it.
Dang it, sorry.
No, it's okay. I forgot that I don't know how much Mavericks I'm going to watch tonight because I'm really intrigued with Notre Dame and Penn State, which I know we'll get way more into at 120.
NFL overreaction or reality, the Lions are still too banged up to win the Super Bowl. Now, before you answer, consider this. Lions gave up 32.4 points in December. No team has ever won the Super Bowl when giving up more than 30 points.
In December?
In December, per game. And Detroit allowed 7.4 yards per play in December, the most by any playoff team in the Super Bowl era.
They were still able to score a lot of
points.
And
they were able to win.
And you said Montgomery, what's the note on him that is there a thumbs up on him?
Yeah,
did I dream that?
They think he'll be ready for the divisional round.
And Hutchinson will be there for the Super Bowl.
I don't know about that one.
It's going to be a tough run, but I think they're kind of, this is a weird team where they got to where they got last year and they have this taste in their mouth that they want to fulfill. So they're elevated, you know, like they elevate because they want it more and they have a coach that wants it more than anybody in the world. I don't know if that was built at A&M or that, you know, cause it feels like A&M people do stuff like that, but
that's fair.
I think that's an overreaction. I think they can still be successful in this postseason. And if they get there, getting Hutchinson back for the Super Bowl would be a big boost.
How many week one defensive starters do you think the Lions are missing now?
12.
That is more than
16.
That's,
Defensive starters. Okay, sorry. I thought you said a whole team. 8.
They're missing 6.
That was my first number.
The most ever for a playoff team is 5. So they have more week one defensive injuries than any team in the history of the playoffs.
And last week wasn't helpful. So that's going to be tough. But, man, Aaron Glenn has done a really good job trying to keep that thing together this season. Nice work.
Mike, I pose the question to you. NFL overreaction or reality? The Lions are just too banged up to win the Super Bowl. Not make the Super Bowl, to win the Super Bowl.
I think so. But they've surprised me by being 15-2 in the one seed.
Yeah.
So if they lose, it's a legitimate excuse. It's not a legitimate excuse for the Cowboys this year. They sucked before all these injuries happened. So shut up about that. This is if they lose in the playoffs, you can say, isn't it amazing they went 15-2 with all the injuries they had?
Yeah.
But Philadelphia or the Rams or whoever it could be who ends up beating them, or they don't get beat and make it to the Super Bowl and then get beat in the Super Bowl, you could say, what a great year. And how in the world did they accomplish all this with all of the injuries they had?
Now, NFL overreaction or reality, I'm going to stick with another injury there. The Packers are cooked without Christian Watson.
Oh, no. That's overreaction.
Ooh.
He's a talented receiver, but they've been able to be successful without him on the field. That's what's really crazy to me. And maybe you have a stat that I don't know.
Nerd data says no.
Okay. That's been a turnstile at receiver for them.
That's true.
Romeo Dobbs, Watson, but they still do the same thing. They've done the same thing since forever. Every one of their receivers, except for Jaden Reed, or like who's the Cobb, Randall Cobb. They always have that one bit guy, but all their other receivers, same size, same build, look exactly the same, and they just can run fast and they're strong. That's just what they go get, and then they'll have this Jaden Reed, Randall Cobb type dude, Donald Driver, and you're like, oh man, that dude's tough in those in the slot too. So I think they can still be successful. Everything is going to be reliant on whether or not Jordan Love is really healthy in this game or really healthy through the postseason.
Mike, do you think the Packers are cooked without Christian Watson?
No.
So
I think Philadelphia is going to win. If you're pressing me, I think Philadelphia is going to win. But I think Jordan Love is this is weird because it's same team. In a way, current day Brett Favre, if he gets hot, it's just like, what the crap? Like, he's like unstoppable right now because we saw it last year. I get that you're naming an injury that is major to their chances. But if he's that one guy that's kind of an underdog right now, that if he gets hot, you could be sitting there going, holy crap, watching that.
I just looked at one of the numbers breakdown specifically for him. Their passing game is 1.27 yards better per snap when he's on the field, and their running game is 0.35 yards better per snap when he's on the field.
Threat for sure. He definitely is a big time threat, and that running game, Josh Jacobs has been I did not expect him to go there and be a difference maker for their running game, but he has been fantastic for them this year.
So there's some NFL overreaction or reality. Would you like to do more tomorrow?
Of course I would.
Well, I don't know if we're going to be here tomorrow.
Okay, well, the really high possibility. The show will happen.
Tomorrow's day is not given to us.
Nobody can predict tomorrow at right now.
That's a fair point. Okay, if we do have a show tomorrow, would you like to do more overreaction?
Yeah, that was a better way of asking. I'll say yes now.
Okay. Garth Brooks once said, though, why put off till tomorrow what now can be done today?
Well,
I think he's the first one to say that. Where are the bodies?
Is that who we want to follow at this particular moment?
What's wrong with him?
Right now, we should go ahead and turn our attention to Mike Likes It.
First question in Mike Likes It. What's wrong with Garth Brooks?
Isn't he accused of perhaps
doing
some very inappropriate sexual things?
Oh, I did
not. With Trisha Yearwood?
No, with people who are not Trisha Yearwood. Just an accusation. I'm pretty sure he's facing sexual assault accusations.
I did not.
Accusation does not mean you're guilty, of course, but
I did not know this. By the way, right now I'm looking at Dallas Maverick tickets because they've moved the game up, and I need to ask my sons who had today's day off of school.
Yeah.
I think they had like one Zoom thing, and I live, I don't know, 2 miles, three, maybe five, 2 to 5 miles away. It's a very easy drive, and I don't even have to get on the highway to go to a Mavs game. So now I'm thinking to myself, look, Portland doesn't have anybody my kids really care to see. And the Mavericks, I get it. I'd be going to a game without Kyrie and without Luka. But if I can get into the lower bowl for like 40 or 50 bucks a ticket, I'll put it this way, under $200 for three tickets total, not under $200 per ticket, under $200 for quality seats to tonight's Maverick game, and I might pull the trigger.
Whoa.
But I need my sons
to say yes. Will you be able to
make
the meatloaf
still,
or?
No, I don't care about the meatloaf anymore. Right.
At that point,
Sue's on her own eating food.
They're all backups. Wow. There's no Luka, no Kyrie, and you're giving up the meatloaf?
I would say we're choing it up if that happens.
All right. What do you think that means, Kevin? He looks very concerned.
With Lee and nose. Now, try to decipher what I said. I'm trying to do the kids thing.
He looks so lost right now.
I'm having chos with Lee's and nose. What do you think that is? Alec, you're young.
I have no idea what you're saying.
I don't either.
We'd be choing it up.
You're young.
And
guy.
I would want...
Hot dogs?
No.
I don't know.
I know.
What do you... What
nachos?
Do you, yep, chos.
Okay.
Okay, so you're...
What's the Lee's and nose?
I've never heard anybody call it a cho.
I haven't
I think we
either,
should.
But
I think they're
know
chos
my kids.
Now. Yeah, we're choing it.
Tamales?
Almost. Guacamole.
Guacamole.
Nice. Lee's.
And nose.
Nose.
Jalapenos?
You got
peppers.
It. Yeah.
Kevin.
I'm going chos, nose, and Lee's.
You're like a kid now. You're like one of these teenagers running around. You know how to use the lingo.
Yeah.
That's bussin'. It's not buns.
Yeah.
No.
Remember, who's got all the Riz?
Yeah.
I'm the Riz guy.
You're so Sigma.
I have no clue.
Stop being skibbity.
You're just saying things that sound like words.
Okay.
but maybe not.
So now into more of Mike likes it. Remember, Kevin, deep breath. Let it out. Take that load off.
Yeah, man.
Okay. All right. Last night, Oklahoma City versus Cleveland.
All right.
31-4 versus 30-5. National TV. I haven't checked the ratings. Is it weird that I just gave you everything you could ever want in a regular season basketball game to watch? And I don't think it was, we didn't talk about it yesterday. I don't think it was really on your radar of television last night. Is that weird that you had two combined teams at 61-9, close to the halfway point of the NBA season? No bat, no football to compete with it. There wasn't a playoff game like there is tonight in football. College football. There wasn't an NFL game competing against it. You had Oak City and Cleveland, by far record-wise, the two best teams in the NBA, and it really wasn't that big of a deal on national television.
I think that's super weird.
It turned out to be a really good game.
I know it was.
Too.
It was a good game. Cleveland won.
Yeah.
But now they're 32-4, or you're 30-6 in Oklahoma City. It could be an NBA Finals preview.
You have the Cavs to me.
You have Donovan Mitchell and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Evan Mobley, baby.
You don't know? Because this is something I didn't expect.
I don't believe in Donovan Mitchell leading a team to a championship.
Neither. I've seen it. Well, maybe he just hated Rudy so much. That was the old him, and this is the real him. I don't know. But I didn't expect it this year.
Yeah.
And so I kept ignoring it. I kept being like, okay, it'll fall apart at some point.
Now they have Doc Rivers, so this hurts them tremendously come playoff time.
True.
But I look at Boston, one. I look at possibly the Knicks, two. And then I look at Milwaukee, three. This is probably stupid of me. They only have four losses. I look at Cleveland as still the fourth best team in the Eastern Conference come playoff time. If those three other teams are healthy.
Did you say the Pacers?
No. Boston 1, Knicks 2, Milwaukee 3, Cleveland 4 is the rankings I have them if they're all healthy going into the playoffs, which would mean I would have Cleveland losing in the second round in the playoffs. And they're probably... Let's face it. At this point, they're probably easily going to win 60 games.
I could see that.
Like 60-22 is probably pretty easy at this point.
Yeah, they could cruise.
65 wins is doable for where they're at. Now, if they have a major injury to what you said, Mobley or Donovan Mitchell, it could hurt them a little
Jared Allen,
he is a really good player. Don't get me wrong. I think they could maybe keep racking up wins if he were to miss. But yeah, I'm surprised where we're at NBA-wise that last night. Is it because it's Oak City and Cleveland?
I think that's why.
Two cities that on the map, most of the country is like, who? Yeah.
And for national spotlight in the NBA, Shea's still trying to make it. Now, Shea, I think, is going... We all understand how great he is. We saw him in the playoffs against the Mavs, how great Oklahoma City's team is. But I think on a national spotlight, Oklahoma City's still trying to fight for, like, we're relevant.
The recognition that they think they deserve. And, you know, quite honestly, Mike, they're going to have to fight through the playoffs this year.
Yeah, they're going to have to win it all.
To get any of it, to get that kind of significance to anybody else.
I think Donovan Mitchell's been in the league long enough that people don't really believe in Donovan Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're like, I've seen him play. It ain't that special.
I know
special.
Where it ends.
Yeah, everybody, and I think it's still... Because LeBron's not there. The only reason I really knew Cleveland was LeBron. And I know there's a history that existed there before him. Was it Mark Price? But other than that, I really didn't.
Cleveland?
Yeah. I didn't really know
Brad
much
Doherty,
about them.
Ron Harper, Craig Elo.
So I think, you know, in my mind, when he's gone, they just don't exist. And that's where...
Sean Kemp. Once Sean Kemp ate Sean Kemp. Remember how skinny he was in Seattle?
Yes, I do.
He got really heavy in Cleveland.
I do.
That baby blue didn't look too great on him.
He won a dunk contest in Dallas that CA was part of.
Oh, like a...
That's
yeah,
so
like,
fun. That's
yeah, not
fun
NBA
story.
Sanctioned, but yeah. Because he went to Kentucky for 1 second and then failed
was
out.
Was he at Texas State?
I
don't
remember.
He was down here somewhere, yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, I think that he was supposed to go to Kentucky, but I think at that point they might have made kids go to school for a second. Like, let me ask you this. Right now, we'll get into college football here in a second, or like 120, but do you think school starts Monday for University of Texas? And I'm sure that's how it starts for Ohio State. Now, Do you think they're going to go to 1 second of school next week? If on tonight, Notre Dame, Penn State, tomorrow, Texas and Ohio State, whoever wins, do you think any of those kids go to school for 1 second next week?
Not really.
I've never been on that kind of campus. I don't know because I went to UNT. So I've never been on that kind of campus and I don't know. Kevin, you went to the great state of A&M.
Yes.
And y'all, on all the times they
but
went to
championships. But there wasn't playoffs back then. And that's obviously true. A&M would have not been part of it.
But
so.
I think, okay, that's fair. Probably not would be my guess. Probably not.
I would assume no.
Yeah, that, they're not going to go to 1 second of school.
I have
Even
other
like,
things to focus on.
If you
on.
Thought of Notre Dame as, let's say, the highest ranked educational school out of the four, I'm sure that UT would push back. I totally get it. I'm not trying to take shots at all. It's a great education. You graduate from one of those four schools, you've got a great education. But I would say that not 1 second those kids go to class. Now, they might have their tutors give them kind of their work assignment, kind of, this is what you need to know. But the coaches are like, no, I don't want you going to class for 1 second. You know what your class is? We are going to study the crap out of whoever we're playing for the national championship. Mm-hmm. That's your class. And that's why you're here. That's why you're getting paid to be here, is to win the national championship.
Yeah. And don't you think coaches or athletic director GMs, like when teachers come to them and they're like, hey, do you like that new facility that we're able to give you? You like the new water fountain you have in your hallway?
Like,
I don't know if it really happens, but
I just can't fathom. We get word that Quinn Ewers and Arch Manning are both out because they failed a class. And they're like, oh, can't play.
Update.
Oh.
CA, toe lowing. Kemp went to Kentucky, transferred to Trinity Valley Community College, never played there, and still was drafted first round by the Sonics. Never played at either school.
There you go. Thank you.
Wow.
Okay.
What a wild story.
Back to the NBA. Kevin Durant has jumped teams trying to win championships and did it with Golden State, didn't do it with Brooklyn. And it looks like Phoenix Suns are the furthest thing away from competing for an NBA championship. His career's coming to a close.
They gross.
Best case scenario, he has 5 years left. And I think that's a too big of a number, to be honest. But I'm just thinking, why isn't Kevin Durant right now making more noise about getting out of Phoenix? If he only has a couple seasons left of being a premium player, and that's probably what he has of being a premium player, and then he has 3 more years of being a role player, like a number 3 option on a team type deal. It's a championship team. He can be the number 1, number 2 with Booker on a crap team. They're 16-19 and just lost to Charlotte.
I think he's much like Kyrie when he got here. He's run out of options. And there's another word I'm looking for here, but I think he's run out of those options to say, yeah, hey, I'm the guy. Look, it didn't work out. I'm still really good. And he's on with Kay Adams a lot, talking about betting. But
does he not? I'm asking this. Yeah. Did since he got his 2, and I think he knows this. He hates this, but he knows it. People like me, you, him
will never change.
We don't believe Kevin Durant really. They probably wouldn't have won a championship or two more without him. But we're still like, it was such horse manure in the way that it was done that he does have 2. We just don't see it that way.
Yeah.
Like Dirk Nowitzki's 1 is 10 times more Kevin Durant's 2 championships. And we all believe that. It doesn't matter that we're Mavs fans. Every fan around the world that's a basketball fan, unless you're just hardcore Kevin Durant, we're like, yeah, he won those 2 championships, but whatever.
Who cares?
Yeah. Guess what? He tried to do it in Brooklyn and it failed tremendously. He tried to do it in Phoenix. It failed tremendously. Yeah. So like we see he has to go to the best team in maybe the history of the sport to then win a championship. So yeah, he has 2. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. He's going to have a lot of scoring records. But I'm like, maybe Kevin Durant's like, screw it. People won't. If I jump over to Boston now, or I jump over to Oklahoma, if I go back to Oklahoma City, or like they're
I'm
not
basically
gonna,
Robert Horry at that point.
So I don't. He makes $51 million this year and $54 million next year. And I'm just wondering. I'm like, if Kevin Durant's whole career has been about jumping ship when it looks like you can't win anymore. Why isn't he doing that in Phoenix? And it's like Phoenix is a popular place. Like, yeah, it's a beautiful place to live.
We take a trip there every year.
Yeah, yeah. But like, it's Phoenix. Like, they're not on the map in the NBA. Like and now they stink. And I'm just surprised that Kevin Durant hasn't made more noise about, I tried to do it with Booker. I tried to do it with Bradley Beal. We stink. I want out.
Yeah.
And that's been his whole career. I'm just surprised he hasn't done it yet.
Fantex 817. Phoenix is a great retirement place. You know, so maybe he's just getting started early and he can't get to Miami. All right, coming up next here on the KNC Masterpiece, it's time for more me. It is the C Block, ladies and gentlemen, where we do the first ever and the first annual KNC Rookie Awards. Next in the Fan.